Hello, everyone. How are you all doing? This is Hour of Healing. We are here again to discuss another thought-provoking topic. And I am your host, Candace. I'm here with Dr. Joe. Welcome into this week's discussion. I know, again, it's going to be a great one wherever you are. Share it with your loved ones, you know, your family members, your friends, so that they can also listen in. Because, again, I always say this, we're here to change families. You know, we are here to help heal families, heal communities, heal individuals so that, you know, the world can be a better place. So that's what we're here for. So today's topic is going to be a few good men. Now, is it a few good men cheat, you know, or a few good men get married? Like, what are we talking about here? So Dr. Joe, over to you. What is this topic?
Yes, Sister Candace, thank you so much for hosting us as usual. We are grateful to you and to our dear audience. And yes, our topic for discussion today is a few good men. A few good men. And Sister Candace, you know, as I sat down and I contemplated the happenings around us and how a lot goes on in life, you will encounter people who for most of their lives will struggle in each and everything that they try to do. You will see some people go through life and struggle at each and every turn to try to make it. And I sat down and I asked myself that of the over 8.6 billion people on this planet Earth, is there just not a helper or somebody who is willing to lend a helping hand or to assist someone? And so as I contemplated this, I was led to a story in scripture in the book of Ezra, chapter 4. And in this story, some group of people who initially were described as the adversaries of the people of God came to the people of Judah who had returned to Jerusalem at the order of King Cyrus to rebuild the temple. And when they came, they offered to help them build, but the people of Judah refused. Now, when they refused, then the actual intent of these people, why the Bible described them as adversaries, began to show. So, Sister Candace, one of the main questions that we will be trying in our conversation today on this topic to address is that could it just be that this great level of rebellion and rejection and point-blank antisocial and antichrist attitude that we see in the younger generation, in our children and our grandchildren, could it just be that the reason or part of the contributing issues is the relationship of the fathers and mothers with their children? And we are not necessarily talking about family. I talk about fathers and mothers in the sense of adults relating to the younger generation. Okay. And so when we say a few good men, one may say, is it just men that we are talking about? No, I'm using the word men in its generic sense. So you can substitute men for a few good people, and it still will be the same thing. Right. Many people will come into our lives. Some will come in the form of a mentor. Some will come in the form of a spiritual father or mother. Some will come even as a parent. But with time, you will see that their actual intent for wanting to relate to us, it's not really for our benefit or for our good, but for their selfish interest. So there are good people to help us in this journey of life, Sister Candace. Right. And what we are going to be talking about today, like I said, is to, one, help us know that they are not very common. And two, for us to know the things that show or some of the characters that men portray that helps you know that they are not good men.
It's good we're going to talk about that, because I'm here thinking, like, how would I even know? You know, like, you have to be a mind reader, or like, you know, like either a psychic or a prophet, or like you have to be able to see through people, and that seeing through people is not on your sleeve, you know? So it's good we're going to be talking about possible signs or possible attributes of such people. So I just want to understand here. So we are, from everything that we've heard, are we saying that there are good men out there or good people out there, but it's a few of them?
Yes.
Okay, so then we are in danger, guys. We are in danger. So, yes, you have people, I think the Bible, the scripture says stuff about how, you know, people, you can be amongst people who are so nice, who are so, you know, you can literally, oh, they're smiling, they're this, they're that, you know, they're friendly with me. But then deep down, that person wants to bite you. That person wants, you know, they're planning something wicked against you. They're literally the ones that's trying to find a way for you to be fired, you know. So, but this is like a dynamic of this world. It's a dynamic, and it's good that we are talking about it today. So I don't want to say much, but Dr. Joe, can we dive into like the attributes, or like how do we recognize?
Yes, Sister Candace, that's a very important question, because like you rightly said, if you don't recognize the characters or the traits of a good person, how would you identify it? And when we say good person, what makes someone good? Is it because they give you money? That's why they are good. Is it because they support everything that you are doing? Is that what makes someone good? That is why, Sister Candace, I said that, yes, there are good men available, but they are not many. Because you will find that many people, even those with good intentions, may sometimes have ulterior motives. And so the fact that someone is supporting you does not necessarily make them good. They may be supporting you, but to your detriment. Someone can support a bad character in you. You might feel support. You might feel they are supporting what you are doing. But at the end of the day, the question is that character or that trait in you that they are supporting, is it in alignment with your God-given purpose? Is it in alignment with what is good for not just your body, not just your soul, but also your spirit? Before I even dive into Sister Candace, I want our audience to understand that if anyone is supporting you, assisting you, guiding you, but the means through which they are supporting you and guiding you is not consistent with the purposes of God for your life, then they are not a good man.
That's the problem.
So what are some character traits that we see? One of the biggest that I always talk about is that trait of neglect. And this is very interesting, Sister Candace, because whenever you talk about neglect, one of the first things that we talk about or we think about is physical neglect. And that is very true. I will show our audience as we go through our conversation the manifestations of these things. But neglect is not just about the food that they neglect to give you. It's not just about the material things, but one of the biggest neglects we see in people that I will not put in this category of a few good men is the neglect of love and the neglect of our spiritual health. Whenever you have anyone mentoring you in life, whether as a parent, as a mentor, as a spiritual father, or as a guidance counselor, whatever that person's role is, if they neglect love, they are not good for you.
Wow.
If they neglect your spiritual health, they are not good for you. Someone may say that, well, I'm not a Christian, or my mentor is not a Christian. Your spiritual health is the essence of your life, because at the end of the day, you are a spirit being. And so no matter what anyone does for you physically, if the essence of your life is not being attended to, you are in danger. And so that is the first characteristic of what makes someone not a good man, or what makes people not good.
So, but I think someone will argue the opposite of someone neglecting love and neglecting spirituality, but they do everything. So that person is still not a good person, or it's not a good man for that person. Because, you know, they will say, okay, they fulfill everything. They don't neglect everything else. Like, they help me with everything. They are nice to me. They are generous. They are, like, kind. You know, like, everything else except love. Like, they neglect love and they neglect spirituality. So, still, that person is not a good man.
So, to the one who will make that argument, this is my counter argument to that. If someone is portraying quote unquote kindness and gentleness to you, but doesn't love you, is that truly kindness, or is that truly gentleness? Because you have to remember that all these things that you mentioned, they are kind to you. Some of the qualities we will talk about is abuse. They don't abuse you. Right, they respect you.
Right.
Sister Candace, the truth is they all must stem out of love. If they don't stem out of love, there is an ulterior motive.
And okay, so what about the person who does love, who does spirituality, but everything else is like to the north, like they don't do anything else?
Let me answer that by talking about one of the other characteristics of what makes someone fit into this category of a few good men. One of the other qualities is trustworthiness.
Okay.
And that is, you can bank on what that person is going to do based on what they are saying.
Right.
When someone is trustworthy, their words does not contradict their actions. And I answer your question with that, because in this, Sister Candace, you cannot truly love someone and not respect them. You cannot truly love someone and belittle them. You cannot truly love someone and abuse them. And so if someone claims they love you, but yet they are doing these other things, they are neglecting you, then they don't love you. And so they don't even fit in that category of a good man in the first place.
So what we are talking about here is not a subjective definition.
No.
It's something that fits, like, generally. This is what we should be looking out for.
Because correct.
They said, to me, that's enough. Like, that's love for me. Like, even if they abuse me and they still buy me clothes, you know, like, they threw a whole birthday party for me. Like, no man has ever done that for me. But
they abuse you.
They abuse you. It's like, that's love. You know, so I want us to dive deep, because I feel like there is, especially for the abuse, there is a sense of manipulation that goes on that leads to this. So I want us to really dive into it, because I know, you know, there are listeners out there who need this cracking of the brain. You know, looking from outside, you'll be like, the first thing you think to yourself is, what do you mean? Like, He loves you and he beats you. He loves you and he abuses you. He loves you and he cheats on you. Like, how are you even comprehending this?
So the truth is, you can't comprehend until you look in your life and see the manifestations of these things. Is someone truly portraying love to you when they make you feel insecure? But why are you feeling insecure? Insecurity is a manifestation of abuse.
Yeah.
And so, a good man or a good person will not make you feel insecure because they will not abuse you. They're not going to come tell you not to feel secure. No. It's a byproduct of what they don't do or what they do. And so throwing you that biggest birthday bash is good. But at the end of the day, are you secured about your relation as a child of that person? Are you secured in yourself? Are you confident that when they say they won't do it again, they will not do it again?
Trust, right?
That is a characteristic of a good man. They are trustworthy. They don't neglect. They don't abuse. And this is the next thing. Sister Candace, they plan for your future.
Okay.
They plan for your future. So even though you are with them today, I believe there is a saying that says that give a man a fish and they will become dependent on you. But teach them to fish, and you have taught them how to sustain their own life. Sister Candace, this is the truth that most of the time people don't want us to talk about. Most of our fathers, and when I say fathers, I mean spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, most of our mentors, most of our leaders are grooming us to become dependent on them, because there is this thing called loyalty, that people will rather raise a loyal following for themselves rather than to raise leaders who can become independent of them. And so, truly, I get the question, or I get the idea that they are doing things for me, but are they planning for your future? Is the person throwing you the biggest birthday bash of your life? Does that person have a savings account or investment account for you? The person buying you gifts each and every week, have they created an investment account for you in the future that when they are not there, you will still be able to be sustained, or you will still be able to get by until you stand on your feet? Sister Candace, the truth is this. Proverbs says that a good father leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Right. Not his children, but his children's children. Why? Because it's one thing planning for your child. Yes, but it's a whole new thing when you are planning for your grandchildren. When you get to the point where you are planning for your grandchildren, you have gotten to the point where you are ensuring that your child will be secured.
Yeah.
Their life is secured because you are providing for them. But their future is also secured because you are providing for what will become their burden.
That's deep love, though.
And that is the quality of a good man. And yes, you are right. That is deep love. So can you do any of these things for someone genuinely without love?
So I would say no and yes, because, you know, there's someone listening to you, and this has been one of the problems. we have so many information out there. So you have people actually learning how to act, right? Mm. So I would say no, because I feel like someone can pretend to be something or do something, but you see that it will, like, as time goes on, it will dwindle. Like, mm-hmm. it won't last long, right? So someone can listen to this podcast and they hear you saying this, you know, and they will take that in. I mean, I need to do this. Or maybe it's a couple or friends. And they know, like, oh, my friend listens to this or my spouse listens to this. So if she's hearing this and I'm not doing this, let me start doing. You get what I mean?
Mm, mm.
So they will pretend to do these things that you are saying. It's a sign of someone who genuinely cares for you or genuinely, like, is a good man. But then can you watch? Is it consistent, right? Because mm. that's the problem. So that's what I wanted to say, that that's the problem we are facing in our era right now, is that there's so many information out there and people are taken to pretend to do these things. And so in our heads or in other people's head, it's like, that's love. Yeah.
And Sister Candace, you said something very important. And that is, you said, when you watch, or if you watch, you see that it dwindles. Love never fails. In fact, we grow in love.
It increases.
Yes. And this is how you know that what they are doing is out of love. That even the things that they are struggling to do today, as you observe them, they get better at doing them. They don't give up on them. And so it's a very difficult topic, or it's a very difficult subject to talk about, because you're dealing with a lot of emotional responses when you talk about things like this.
Right.
But Sister Candace, let's be very frank. Most of the people being driven out of our churches today, it's not because they think Jesus lost his ability to save them, right, or lost his ability to help them, or all of a sudden stopped being God. No. But the representatives of Jesus that we call our fathers have become the sole reason, in most instances, that is driving a lot of people out of the church. The question is why? So for the sake of time, I will try to list just a few more, and then we'll be able to pick up from there next week. But one of the other things that you see in people who are not good for you is that they always find a way to create something that is of a higher priority than you.
Hey.
They always will find a way. It could be their work. And trust me, their work schedule may change. But because they are not good people, they will find something else to become a priority in that, in the place of the changed schedule. The other thing is, they don't really care about your boundaries.
But wait, before you move on, let's get back to the the priority. And I just want to speak on that, because this works out so nicely together, and it's sad because for a person you care about, if they tell you, I have this priority right now, you caring about them, you will feel like, oh, I understand. But that's a bad thing. You get what I mean? Like, this has been something that, especially for females, you know, let's just say men, especially like for, well, maybe some men go through that. But for a person, let's just say in general, before you guys come and attack me, when you're hearing someone you care about or you love telling you, I have this priority and you are here, I have this priority and you are here, you care about them, so you will compromise. You will you see that it's okay. Like, it doesn't mean they don't love me. It's just that this is of most important to them. But according to what you are saying right now, you are saying that if someone genuinely is a good man, is a good person for you or to you, no matter what, you'll be a priority.
Yes and no. So I want our audience to understand that everyone has priorities in life, no matter what you are doing and or what you are not doing. So the question is not really about people having priorities, because priorities in life changes.
Right.
Outside God, who has to always be the priority of life, because he is the one who will help you maintain balance. Mm-hmm. Outside him, every other priority gives you a balance for a season, not all times. The reason why God is always the number one priority, or should be, is because at all times, in all situations, in all circumstances, in all seasons, God will be your balance.
It's still the same. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to any other priority, let's take the priority of work.
Okay.
Whenever you start any work, or when you start your career, and so you are married and you start your career.
Right.
Once you start your career, you grow. Mm-hmm. Now, when you start growing, it changes the balance that that career gives you. Because maybe when you started, you were in a negative financial balance. Mm-hmm. After a year or two, your career, if sustainable, begins to balance the finances. Now, if the finances is balanced, the career does not become the number one priority again outside God. No. Maybe your next priority should be home. But what I am saying is, the one who is not good for you, when they have found that financial balance, they will find something else outside you.
Still,
to become the priority.
They're still busy.
They will still find something else.
This is making me think. I feel like I'm speaking from my personal experience, and I think when you are in it, you don't realize it, but it puts you in a stagnant position, because you get to this cycle of I'm waiting. They'll finish buying the house. I'm waiting. They'll finish. What was the next priority? Maybe school. They finish school. I'm waiting. They want to really work like 3 jobs a day to be able to buy a car, a nice car. They bought the car. So it's like the other person gets put in a place of stagnation, because it's like they keep waiting.
Correct.
What you are saying is making me think it's part of us as people to feel like we matter.
Of course.
To feel like we are a priority, not like the utmost priority, but to feel like we have a sense of place in your life that's above than possibly material things or whatever. So it's like it doesn't matter. It could be a teenager, it could be whoever. There's always a sense in you like, you're not making me a priority. You're not making me feel like I'm important to you. You don't value me. You know, when you start hearing yourself saying those kind of things or thinking those kind of things, that means it's what we are saying. They're not good for you, or they're not a good man. So we should make sure not to stay stuck, because you're going to be waiting, and you wait forever.
Yeah, Sister Candice, absolutely, you are right. And this is Hour of Healing. We need to balance this. In the same way that the work doesn't become a permanent priority, I want our audience to take it from me. No man or woman will remain a top priority, or should remain a top priority in your life at all times. This is a misunderstanding that we have, especially in marriage, that we feel that we should be our spouse's top priority at all times. No. And I will explain while we end this. If you remain your spouse's top priority at all times,
danger.
You will go broke. You will become homeless. and probably become destitute.
You know, you saying that, I remember I was speaking to it's a friend of mine, a guy. He was like, when he was married to his ex-wife, his ex-wife used to tell him, "Oh, call out today. I want to spend time with you." And he would call out. I used to call out of work just to stay home with her because that's what she wants. So I'm like, how? Like, so who's going to pay that bill? You know, like.
Mr. Kendis, I want us to be able to wrap up on our first part of this conversation today. But I really wanted to put that balance out there because we live in a time where it's me, myself, and I. And so when you say something like this, somebody will be referring their partner and say, go listen to Dr. Yeah, Joe. Yeah. He said, I have to be a priority.
Well, priority, but not top. I should say, not top priority. You have to be a priority. But not half, you know, when you find that car, think about me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it goes, you know, I want to bring in marriage here and it will end it. But that's the thing. Like when two people get married, you are a couple, right? And then kids come in. The kids are the priority now. But still, you have to think about me. I'm your wife. You get what I mean? Like, so I'm not your top priority maybe now. But it's like even a female when they get pregnant. That baby in the womb is your top priority.
Correct.
You husband, you are someone like get away, you know?
And so now you understand why I said outside God, priorities should change.
Right.
If it doesn't change, then we are in for trouble.
Yes. So feel good men. This is today's topic. And men, we're not, you know, here to attack any man. We are talking about people. All right. So next week, we're going to come back. Make sure to tune in. We're going to, you know, discuss more in depth about, you know, the manifestations of the attributes of being a good man or having a good man or not having a good man. So be sure to tune in. And again, we are on all the social media handles, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Hour of Healing, Joe Deborah or Dr. Joe Deborah, and you're going to find it. But I'll hand it back to Dr. Joe as we wrap up this week's discussion.
Thank you so much, Sister Candice. I believe you said it all. And so I will employ our audience to stick with us in the second part so that we can wrap this up and bring it home for us so we can get all the needed healing from this massive topic. Thank you so much. We'll see you same time next week. Bye-bye.